Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy. So, before we jump into this, I want to make sure we're ready. Because your readiness has an effect on how you receive the Word of God. Just like I have to be ready to share the Word, you have to be ready to receive the Word. If I'm a quarterback, blue 42, and I'm ready, See, first of all, if I'm a quarterback and I'm not ready, I'm going to fumble. And the play won't even get started. And the coach is going to yell and we're going to lose. But if I'm ready and I come back and I'm getting ready to throw the Word according to the play, according to what the coach has, but you're not ready, you're going to get hit in the back of the head with a football. And you're going to fumble. And so I don't want the team to lose because I fumble, and I don't want the team to lose because you fumble. So when you come to church, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. When you come to the house of God and you come, I don't care what kind of week you have. I don't care what kind of week I have. I don't care what kind of emotions I have. I don't care what kind of emotions you have. That's secondary. It's secondary. I don't care what's going on this morning which now the Aiken household has two big drama dogs, by the way. I think Sarah, I'm going to leave that alone. Stay focused on the Word. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter what's happening. When you come to the house of God and you come ready for the Word of God, that I'll be ready and you be ready. And whoever's going to teach behind this pulpit, we'll make sure that they're ready. And who's ever sitting here in these seats, make sure that you're ready. Because it could be a great sermon heard in a bad way and you think it's a bad sermon. I've had many people tell me, Pastor John, your sermons have been so good. I'm like, I'm preaching the same stuff. What's happened is you're ready. You're ready. And so I want you to get ready. I want you to be ready. Matter of fact, nudge your neighbor and say, you better get ready. Because you assign the meaning, you assign the value to everything you hear or receive. So I want you to get ready. I want your Bible open to Matthew chapter 6. And I want you to get ready as we pray this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you're ready. We thank you that you're always ready, God. And you're always faithful, God. And so, Father, we come to your Word today. And we set our hearts open, focused, attentive. We look to you. We listen to you. We put you first. We choose this day to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and let your Word be upon our heart, God. So we have ears to hear, we have eyes to see, and we will receive your Word. We'll receive what the Spirit of God is saying. We'll have ears to hear what he's saying, because we believe your Word changes lives. So we receive it today in Jesus' name. Amen. So if your Bible's open to Matthew 6, the first question I have for you is this. Is if you ask this question of yourself, do I want my life to change? I had a whole nother sermon that I was thinking about going in a whole different direction. And this morning, waking up, I felt the Lord change it to something that should be honestly pretty simple. There's nothing like, wow, in my opinion. I mean, it's powerful stuff, but I don't think it's going to be stuff that many of us haven't heard before. But it's not what you hear that changes your life. It's you applying what you hear that changes your life. And many people want to go get a new word, because when you get a new word or a new thing, it feels good. Ooh, if it feels good in the moment. I don't know if you ever really do that, but it feels good to get something new for some of us. But what really has to happen is many times we just need to go back with a new faith to an old word. A new faith to an old word. God, give me fresh faith to go back to what you said. instead of, I don't really like what you said, give me something else. You know, that's not how it works in the kingdom of God. So the question I really want you to think about in yourself is, and to ask yourself is, do I want to change my life? Because this morning I want to talk to you about how to change your life. Next Sunday morning, Lord willing, we'll start in the book of 1 Peter and we'll go all the way through 2 Peter, not in one Sunday. But we're going to take time over the next probably 2 months to just go through a book of the Bible. And I feel like the Lord wants us to go through the life in the book of Peter, the gospel of, or not the gospel, but the book of Peter, 1 and 2 Peter. So we'll start that next week. But this week, I just want you to ask the question of yourself, am I willing or wanting to change my life? And the other question I kind of wrote down is, you know, sometimes people think, you know, they, well, Pastor John, I want things to change. Well, that's not what I asked you. You've heard me say this hopefully a million times if you've been here and you've been ready, that immature people want God to change their circumstances. But mature disciples of Christ, such as you, want God to change them. And you become a change agent to change circumstances. And so the question is, here's another question you ask yourself. Does my life need to change? Whether you want it to or not, does my life need to change? See, it's not a bad question to say, you know, am I willing to change my life? But if you don't really ask the next couple questions, then what will happen is you'll land possibly on a motivation for change to be like a self-help thing, and self-help in one sense is not bad if you've submitted yourself to God. See, self-help is really no help without God. And so it's not like, oh, do I think a couple things, you know, should change? Am I wanting to change my life? Well, whether I'm wanting to or not, or whether I need to or not, the third question is, does God want something to change in my life? Does God want my life to change? And here's the deal, whether you want to change or not, whether other people in your life want you to change or not, whether you need to change or not from your perspective, does God want your life to change? Because if God is wanting your life to change, but you're like, God, change my circumstances. This ain't fair. Everybody tweeted me bad. You got self at the center instead of God at the center. And when self is at the center of your reasoning and your thoughts, and God, how could you do this to me? And honey, how could you do this to me? And boss, how could you do this to me? And world, how could you do this to me? And car and dogs, and how could you do this to me? If self's at the center, you're going to get the wrong answer every single time. But if you submit self to Christ and you begin to say, God, do you want my life to change? And if so, what do you want to change in my life? What about me do you want to change? What do I need to change? What do I need to change now? What do I need to change later? Because here's the reality, that there's only two things that motivate you to change. And in the kingdom of God, those two can be put together to equal one thing. So the two things that motivate you to change is either, and the different words you could use for it, but the pain of not changing, or the promise, or you could say the pleasure, but I like the word promise, of change. So the pain is if I don't change, because I just don't want to change. Okay, fine, Pastor John, I probably need to change. So-and-so says I need to change. Other people say I need to change. And if everybody's saying I need to change, probably, you know, I know this is deep stuff, but probably need to change. But if you don't come to God as the source of that change, and you surrender yourself to him to say, Lord, I want my life to look like you. I want you to be my source. My shepherd is my source, and you're gonna bring the change that you desire in me and what my life looks like and all that stuff. If you don't do that, then you're left to your own resources. And any change that you have, at best, will be temporary. And there's a whole other discussion about that. I'm not going to go in there. I almost went there. I'm not going to go into that. So the thing that motivates you to change is either the pain of not changing. What happens in my life if I don't change in a 5 years out and I haven't changed? 10 years out and I still haven't changed. See, if I'm broke now, there's a reason why I'm broke. And I know it's the government and it's everybody else and it's COVID and I know it's everybody else's fault. But there's a reason why you're broke. There's a reason why you're angry. I know it's everybody else's fault. You make me angry. There's a reason why you're not happy. And I know it's everybody else's fault of why you're not happy. But see, what if the things that need to change in your life don't change? That think about the pain of that. I'm overweight or I'm this or I'm that or I'm stroke, whatever. Oh, I don't want to talk about this. It makes me uncomfortable. Okay, well, sometimes you need to get in the presence of God and have a very powerful conversation wrapped in love about some things that need to change in your life. Because what happens if you don't, I don't want to look at the painful stuff. You need to look at the painful stuff. We've been trying to make some changes, and I'm not going to preach long on this one because I'm still working in my comfort zone about it. But I've been weighing myself every day. If you want to have a wrestling match, get a scale and weigh yourself. And every morning, I get on a scale. And some mornings are like, Lord, you are good. And some mornings go up differently. But here's the thing. If it matters, you need to measure it. And so I'm sitting here thinking about change, and I'm like, here's what helped me to change is being very transparent with you. Here's what helped me to change. Spiritual father in my life, Rick Clendenin, knowing he traveled the world and knowing, and he would say this. He'd say this to you because he said it to me. Dale Yurton has said it to me and other people that I've seen say it to me who are men of God who have a calling to go around the world, but some of them did not take care of their health. And they could still possibly be ministering today. And so here's the deal. The pain of me not being able to do what God's called me to do long term, that's a pain. And so I think, okay, I'm almost 50 years old. I know, looks like I'm 25, almost 50 years old. But 5 years from now, if I keep eating and living the way I'm doing right now, what's my life look like 5 years from now? What's my life look like 10 years from now? What's my life look like 20 years from now? And here's the problem. There's people who've been living that way. I have lived that way with certain things in my life and think, gosh, how did I get here? This is crazy. God, Sarah, why do you keep throwing the food down my throat? You know, and little changes have made a big difference for me. And I promise I'm going to get to the word, but you've got to be ready for the word. And you got to be willing. I've had people say, Pastor John, I'll do anything to change. Okay, I want you to read this one verse for the next 7 days. And I want you to get it in your heart. Next time we meet, we'll talk about it. Okay, we come the next 7 days. Tell me what the verse is. Oh, I didn't read it. I'm confused. I thought you said you'd do anything to change. But what you really meant is, oh, I'd do anything if God would change my circumstances. But you didn't really mean I'll do anything to change. So the two things that motivate change is either the pain of not changing and then the promise of what will happen if I change. What will happen? What will happen? If I make changes today, if I make changes right now, what will my life be like 5 years from now? And if I keep doing those changes and keep walking in what God says is right and God says is blessed and doing it God's way and not my way, then what will those changes look like 10 years from now? And hey, what will those changes look like 20 years from now? And even more than that, in the kingdom of God, for a disciple of Christ, what do those changes look like in eternity? Because we are disciples of Christ, those of us who put our faith in Christ. So our obedience right now, and by the way, obedience is not about, obedience is more than intentionality. You can have good intention and not be obedient. So obedience is more than intention. Obedience is action. It's intentional action. Obedience is intentional action, and obedience unlocks the blessing of God in your life. Today, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, does that mean I won't have struggle? And if I obeyed, nothing bad is going to happen? No, all kind of bad is going to happen. All kind of stuff is going to happen. There's going to be attacks, and there's going to be suffering, and there's going to be all kinds of attacks that you face and all kind of valleys that you walk through, but you will walk through them. You will overcome them. God will deliver you through all of them when you do it his way. So you got to make a decision to say, if I'm going to change and if I'm really wanting to change my life, then the first thing I want to get in your heart is this, that you combine in the kingdom of God, you combine the pain of not changing and get a picture of that. If I don't change, what will my life look like? 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. If I don't change, because here's the deal, if you don't change, things won't change. If you're waiting for God to do something with somebody else to change your destiny, then you are going to be waiting for a long, long time. But in Christ, if you stand up and take responsibility for your life, say, you know what? Today is a day that I can change. And God is my source, and he will empower me. His grace empowers my obedience. His grace empowers me to walk in truth. And so it is now since I have turned my heart back to God, it's my intention to walk in action that is obedient so that I will not have to experience the pain of what disobedience causes over the longevity of my life. And I can enjoy the promise and the pleasure of the Lord by walking 5 years in obedience, 10 years in obedience. Some of us, man, we walk one day in obedience. Yes. And this is how sin will lie to you. You've been obedient for almost 24 hours. You deserve a little time off of obedience. See, the problem with that is what you really want is disobedience. And you, in a demented way, reward yourself with disobedience, which is what you really want, the pleasure of sin. And you justify it through church lingo. Because of you've been obedient, so you can give yourself, you know, I've been sober for almost a year. I deserve a drink. I've been on a diet. I love what Rick Lindeni used to say. I've been thinking about him this morning. Rick Lindeni used to say he was on two diets because he couldn't get enough to eat on one. I just love that. And so, you know, I've been dieting all month. I've been dieting all week. I deserve a Dairy Queen night out. I deserve pizza in buffet. Those are tempting words right there for a man who has a scale. So you got to decide in your heart, am I willing to honestly look at the pain of not changing and honestly look at the pleasure and the promise of changing to say, you know what, God, I do come into agreement with you. I do agree with you. My life needs to change. My life needs to change. And I trust you to help me implement that change through intentional action, obedience, which is intentional action that unlocks the blessing of God in my life. Stop blaming God for your own stupidity. God, don't you care? See, that's why I'm glad I'm not God. Because I'd be like, what? Did you just pray, don't I care? Don't you care? Don't you care? See, the problem you're facing, I had nothing to do with. That's all you. That's all you. So it's not about don't I care. I've given you a new way to live. You keep choosing the old way. So it's not about don't I care. Don't you care? And that's why if I was God, people wouldn't pray to me. Be like, I'm done with that. But the reality is, it's do you care? Do you care about 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? Do you care about your life, the life that God has given you, the reason why he created you, the statement that God is trying to make to the world through your existence? Do you care? And if so, intentionally take action. It's called obedience. That's always motivated by love and activated by faith. Just good stuff. So Matthew chapter 6. I'm sitting here running my mouth. I haven't even gotten to it. Matthew chapter 6. So most of y'all know exactly where I'm going. If you want to change your life, first thing you need to do is look at Matthew chapter 6. Skip down to verse 33. Oh, I love hearing those Bible changes. Or Bible pages turn. Oh, this is all from the heart of, yes, Lord, I want my life to change. And it's not, yes, Lord, I need my life to change. Yes, Lord, I want my life to change. Hope says, Lord, I need my life to change. Faith says, I want my life to change. I want, I'm willing that my life will change. So Matthew 6, 33. But seek first, everybody say first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. So I know you know this scripture, and we don't have time to break down the whole context of it, but the point I want you to get is the first thing you got to do is you got, if you want to change and you agree that your life needs to change and you want to change, you have to be willing to change. And the first thing that you need to do is seek something different. Seek the kingdom of God. See, you could just seek something different. Like years ago, I did AA and NA, and so I wanted to get sober. So what I ended up doing was going through the 12 steps, which are not bad. They're not bad. They're not best, but they're not bad. So it helped me in my life during a season to give me some structure and order, and so I focused on a higher power. I didn't focus on the highest power. I focused on a higher power, which is not really high considering the first step is you are powerless. So anything that has a little power is more powerful than me. But so it's a higher power, but not the highest power. And no joke, for years, my higher power is Cap'n Crunch with berries. You know those, I would eat Cap'n Crunch, and it was incredible. And I would just look, and they had the, you know, the Cap'n Crunch had the decoder glasses in the box, and it showed the map and stuff. I'm telling you, I was inspired. I'm like, Cap'n Crunch. Got to be second cousins with Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and all them people up there. And I just was like, wow, Captain Crunch. And I would literally sit there and, okay, and I would have conversations with the captain, put on my decoder glasses and sit there and like, you do a map for my life. And well, then one day mom bought, you know, Cocoa Puffs, which are really good. And I lost my power. And it messed with me. And then I'm sitting there eating Cocoa Puffs, and I see a little cardinal bird come out and go right where the window was where we eat breakfast. And I thought, wow. Wow, here's a sign. This is the bird, and that was great. Till the bird stopped showing up. See, I went from higher power to higher power to higher power to higher power until I one day met the highest power. And his name is Jesus. And you can change your life with self-help. You can change your life by some discipline. You can change your life, but you can't change your eternity until you come to the highest power. And once you come to the highest power, see, you seek first. See, don't skip. Don't even waste time with all the other stuff. Seek first the king. See, the kingdom was all about a king. The kingdom is all about a king and the realities of that king. So that's why it says seek first the kingdom and his, the king's, righteousness, because everything that flows out of the kingdom, every operating system in the kingdom, the Wi-Fi of the kingdom, the money of the kingdom, the relationships of the kingdom, everything there is to be, know, and do in the kingdom flow out of the king, flows out of his righteousness. That's why if it's kingdom, there's no unrighteousness. Kingdom is not self-righteousness. Kingdom is God's righteousness. So it says, seek first the kingdom, meaning the king, and his righteousness. So what does God's will say? What is God's, the word of the king? The word of the king, the decree of a king, the will of a king, the king who created you. The king who put you in that body. The king who put you in that gender. The king who put you in that family. And you think, oh, he made a mistake putting me in this family. No, he knew what he was doing. Maybe the mistake is you thinking he made a mistake. To say, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. If I want my life to change, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then look over to Mark chapter 4. There's this awesome I love Mark chapter 4, the whole chapter, but what I want you to see in Mark chapter 4 is down in verse 26. He's talking about the kingdom of God. He's sharing a parable about how the kingdom of God operates, how it functions. He's sharing about the Wi-Fi of the kingdom, the operating system of the kingdom, the technology of the kingdom, how it operates. And there are people in this world who do not know the king, but they have by accident, and even by just circumstance, have found principles of how the kingdom operates, and the principles of how the kingdom operates can bring increase and growth into their life. But here's the sad part. They can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. Imagine standing before God. God, look at my house. Look at my business, God. Look at how much I've done. This impressed everybody else, and I'm sure it's going to impress you. What, I'm standing on gold? So pure that it's so pure that it's you can see through it. Oh, I don't think you're that impressed. So the reality is for you to and me to come to God to say, Lord, my life, I want my life to change. And if I want my life to change, I've got to seek first the kingdom of God, not seek last. Like I'll try this. Let me go to Google. Let me go to this. Let me go to, you know, Pookie and them. Let me go over here to somebody. Let me get on Facebook. Let me figure out this problem. I know somebody. Let me go to them. No. Go first to the Word of God. Go first to the Word of God. Go first to King, what do you say? And if you don't know what he says about marriage, if you don't know what he says about money, if you don't know what he says about this, that, or the other, then go seek the Word. Go find somebody who knows. Find somebody who knows the king. Find somebody who knows the king's righteousness and go to them and say, teach me. I'm seeking God's best. I'm seeking to change my life. And God is my source and I don't know what to do. And many times it's better to do nothing than something. Because undoing something sometimes is harder and can be a distraction from finding the right thing to do. So seek first the kingdom of God and his word. And so Mark 4, looking at verse 26. This whole, right before this is the parable about the sower. And the sower sows the word. And it's the word of the kingdom. So it's the word of the king. It's the word of the king and the word of the kingdom. And so look at verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man, somebody say amen. Amen. He's talking about you. Should scatter or sow seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day and the seed should sprout and grow, but he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself and the blade then, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle. That's reaping, because the harvest has come. Second thing I want you to know, if you're going to seek the Lord, you're going to have to seek the Lord in order to change. Second thing you need to know is you can change your life if you're willing to change your seed. You can change your life if you're willing to change your seed. You can change your life if you are willing to change your seed. In context, what is the seed? The word of the king, the will of the king, living with a heart of not my will be done, your will be done. I want every area of my life, every area of my life to look as if you were leading it. See, the problem with Americanized traditional church is we separate. We have our Sunday, and then we have our rest of the week. So we have our weekly life and our business and family and school and all the stuff that we do, and then we have our Christian life. See, in the kingdom, it's all connected. The king's not one way on Sunday and another way the rest of the week. And see, The traditions of men in church work on Sunday, but they don't work on Monday. But the kingdom will work on Sunday and Monday. That's why churches had these little things that they get into, these little ruts and these little learned behaviors and traditions that every church falls into different traps or whatever. And usually it's an over-focus on a truth that takes that truth to something that's unhealthy. And we overemphasize something at the expense of something else in the kingdom. And so what happens, we don't have balance. We get over-focused on something. And then we build a church around people who are like-minded about that one focus. And this is our one focus. And if you don't have this one focus, then you're not righteous. And we define everybody through this one focus. Well, that focus may work on the weekend, on Sunday, here in our little group, as we all kind of do our little thing and almost become cultish. But that little one thing doesn't work balance in the rest of the week. So our only option is, because we define righteousness by this one thing, this one tradition of men that we set in different denominations of different things, we focus on this one thing to help us feel secure and help us feel right instead of just being secure in the King and who he is, what we know of him and what we don't know of him. I trust him. I'm with him. We get these one little things and all of a sudden we view people based on it. Uh-oh, you're outside the circle. Uh-oh, you need to get back to righteousness. You need to get back, because this is how we define it. Instead of the King defines righteousness, this is how we define it. A tradition of men that makes the word of God of no effect. And what happens is we end up living a lifestyle because we want to be right. We want to be righteous. We want to be right with God and right with the people that we love and care about in our church family. But what happens is we end up living way beneath what God's called us to do and what God's called us to be, because this won't work on Monday. But the kingdom will. So what if we kind of took this approach and said, we want the kingdom to work. See, if it's really kingdom, it'll work on any continent, in any culture, in any country on the world. If it's denominational, only works certain places. If it's cultural, only works certain places with certain people. But if it's kingdom, works anywhere, everywhere, all the time. Because it's the King. So what if we begin to let go of some traditions that were not of God but of man, and started seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and begin to understand that obedience activates the King's realities in my life. Obedience, motivated by love and operating by faith, activates the King's realities in my life. I wish God would do more. Let me help you out with that. Obey him. Watch how much more he does. See, if you're waiting for him to do something before you obey him, then you've missed the fact that he's already done something for you to obey. And if you obey in faith in what he's done, then your obedience is motivated by the love of what he's done, and it's operating through faith in what he has done, knowing that it'll activate him doing it through you. I can't say that again, but I felt like that was really good. I'm gonna have to watch the video to do that again. And so Mark 4 here, there's three things: sowing, sleeping, and sickle. I taught this to Rick Clendenin. I didn't teach it to him, but I was telling him one time, a number of years ago, this is what I was thinking about Rick this morning. I was teaching him, I'm telling him about it, saying, let me show you what God showed me one day. And I'm not going to go into all of it because we don't have time, but maybe later we will. But I talked about sowing, sleeping, and sickle. That I don't care who you are in the kingdom of God, this is how the kingdom of God operates. Sowing, sleeping, and sickle. Sowing, sleeping, and sickle. That as I am cultivating and farming the kingdom of heaven in my life, that everything in the kingdom is seed time and harvest. Everything in the kingdom is seed time and harvest. And that the King's will in my life happens by me changing my seed of sin and flesh and getting rid of that, no longer sowing to the flesh to reap destruction, but sowing of the Spirit of God into my life, sowing the will of God into my life, sowing, sleeping, and sickle. Those are, and it never changes. Well, what if I'm struggling with what if I'm on a mountaintop? It never changes. Sowing, sleeping, sickle. What if I'm in a valley? What if I'm in an attack? Sowing, sleeping, sickle. What if I feel like it? Sowing, sleeping, sickle. What if I don't feel like it? And let me say it a different way. Sowing, sleeping, reaping. Those are the three things that every one of us as disciples of Christ are responsible to do if we want our life to change and we're going to seek the kingdom of God. We have to be willing to do those next things. We got to seek God. We got to sow his word. We got to sleep on it and let God just develop things in our heart and mind as we sleep and rest on his word, trusting his word to work. And then as the harvest comes, we've got to reap. And then as we reap, there's seed in every harvest and there's harvest in every seed. It might be possible, I heard a preacher say this one time, it might be possible for man to sit down and count. Might be possible for man to sit down and count how much seed is in a harvest. But only God can count how much harvest is in a seed. So we got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing to start seeking God, sowing his word, sleeping on it, and then knowing when to put in the sickle and knowing when to reap. That's how the kingdom of God operates. According to this parable, in full context, the seed is the word of the kingdom. The heart the ground is the heart. And if you sow it in good ground, you begin to get, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And you begin to have increase in miraculous ways. And so I want you to think about sowing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what, if you're weary. Galatians 6, Lauren Biggers talks about Galatians 6 all the time because it talks about that if you want to sow, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that is what he shall reap. Whatever a man sows, that's what he shall reap. Because here's what you got to remember. You reap what you sow. If you don't like your harvest, you need to change your seed. Listen to me. You don't need to change your church. You don't need to change your marriage. You don't need to change your business. You don't need to, there's a lot of things you don't need to change that you think is the problem, but the real problem is you need to change your seed. And if you change your seed to the word of God and to the will of God in every area of your life, obedience, motivated by love, operating by faith, will activate the will of God in your life. Period. And you are responsible. No one else is responsible to sow. No one else is responsible to farm your ground. You are. If you've been letting somebody else farm your ground, you need to take care of that. You need to farm your ground. You've got a harvest that God wants to bring into your life. And you need to walk in that. And so you sow. What happens if I'm weary? What happens if I'm worn out? The enemy, Daniel 7:25 talks about the enemy wears out the saints. I'm worn out, Pastor John. Oh, I'm worn out. I can't sow today. Oh my goodness. I've been on two diets. I can't sow. It's so these two dogs and these two diets. I can't do it. It's too much. God understands. You need to wake up. You need to wake up, you need to get up, and you need to take responsibility and say, I am a child of the King. I am a disciple of a King. The King lives in me. The Lion of the tribe of Judah lives in me. I am not a victim. He's made me powerful. I was nothing, and then he made me something. And now from who he's made me to be, I am going to become who he made me to be by taking obedient steps and taking action by sowing, by sleeping, and by reaping. But Pastor, what if I don't feel like an old depression? And oh, look, I know the reality of depression is real. I've had the thoughts of suicide and being overwhelmed with there's no one, being in such a dark place thinking there is no other option. But darkness and death, I've been there. And here's what I found. Jesus is Lord even at that place. And if you just say, Lord, I agree with you. I'm not going to agree with me because I get dumb sometimes. I'm going to agree with you, God. I'm going to agree with you and I'm going to take responsibility. And guess what I'm going to do? Guess what I'm going to do? Sow, sleep, and reap. At every point in your life as a Christian, as a disciple of Christ, you are sowing, sleeping, and reaping. At every point. So when an old seed, when a new harvest from an old seed of sin pops up every now and then, don't let it distract you from sowing, sleeping, and reaping. Oh God, what are you doing? That's just something from old. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, pluck it up, go on. Another thing Rick used to say all the time, I love this. He'd say, sow your seeds, pull your weeds, and God will meet your needs. Amen. Real simple. Real simple. West Kentucky, but it worked all over the world. Sow your seeds, pull your weeds, and God will meet your needs. You got to be responsible to that. You got to be responsible to sleep. The sleeping part, just think about this real quick. The sleeping part is Psalm 127, verse 2. It says, he gives his beloved sleep. It's vain to rise up early and stay up late. It's vain to rise up early and stay up late. You can rise up early or stay up late, but you can't do both. It's vain to do both. It says he gives his, one version says he gives his beloved sleep. Another, the Amplified says it this way. He gives his beloved during sleep. Like he blesses his beloved, not just with sleep, but he blesses his beloved in sleep. Let me give you an example. Adam, God put him in a deep sleep. Voila. There's a wife. How many of you want the wife? How many of you men want the wife or women want the husband that God has planned for you? I love this. I told this to Sarah a few days ago as a joke. Heard a guy talk about he got on an airplane and he saw somebody's wedding band. But he saw it on the wrong finger, and it was weird. It's like, that's just weird. It kept bothering the guy. So he's finally like, sir, I'm sorry, but why is your wedding band on the wrong finger? He said, oh, that's easy. I married the wrong woman. Oh. I just think that's funny, man. So don't believe that lie either. Don't believe that lie, like, oh, I made them. No, you know, be faithful in the marriage that to the person you're married to. Don't believe this lie of, oh, if I was just married to somebody else. If you were just married to somebody else, that somebody else will sound just like the person you're married to now because you'd be in that new marriage. The grass is greener on the other side until you go over there and start taking care of it. Oh, that girl at work, she makes me feel, yeah, because she don't live with you. Do to her what you do to your wife and see what happens. So just repent and trust God and say, God, instead of you making, Lord, make my wife into something. No, Lord, make me into something. Make me into something. And so the sleeping part, you know, is you trust the Lord. You're trusting in his promises. It's not laziness. It's trust. You're sleeping and you're dreaming about the seed. You're dreaming about the harvest in the seed. You're dreaming about all that God's going to do. So when you live a lifestyle of sowing, of seeking, sowing, sleeping, and reaping, if you live a lifestyle of that, you'll after you sow the word of God that you sought and you sowed it, it's just like this thing. I happen to have this in here. I didn't really plan this. So I seek the word. I want a picture of it. I want a picture of it. So I seek the watermelon. I seek the image. And so in Christ, I've got a picture of the word. In Christ, I see it. So I open up the word of God and I start sowing. I sow the word of God. Keep your mouth open. I sow the word of God. And guess what's in the seed? The same thing that the package shows. And the true package of the seed is the life of Christ himself that is then put into written word for you to see. That then becomes in your life and you get to throw seed into other people and reproduce after its own kind. But you got to seek it. Know exactly what it is. Watermelon. crimson sweet because of the blood of Jesus. And it has description about it, how to sow it, when to sow it, why to sow it, how to sow it in what kind of ground. And you sow the seed into your life. Then you sleep. And as you sleep, you're dreaming about the seed and the harvest. Lord, thank you for this. I thank you, God. I thank you. Even though it's just getting started in me, the harvest is already in the seed. It's already finished. So I thank you, Lord, that this is 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. This is what's happening. I thank you, God, for you being at work. And I trust you, God. I trust you. Then when the enemy comes, when you wake up from your little nap and the enemy comes, hey, man, hey, you want to do something? Hey, you want to do something? You'll be like, no. Why would I want to do that when God's doing this? Why would I want to go, you know, mud bogging on the ground? Some of y'all don't even know what that is. Why would I want to go rip up the ground and the seed with disobedience and sin? Why would I want to go rip up what God's doing? No, I'm dreaming of this. Because, you know, that sinful stuff, that used to be my dream, but it ain't my dream no more. God's given me a new dream. And I'm sleeping, I'm dreaming about it. And then when it's time to, it starts coming, then there's a time to take action and it's a time to begin to reap it. And here's how you reap it. Here's how you reap. You gotta speak and confess. Matter of fact, simple word, A-C-T, act. You gotta act. The A stands for action. The reaping is all about acting, taking action. So the A stands for action. Obedience is not intention. It's intentional action. It's a faith that works. It's a faith that works. Good works will never create righteousness in your life. But since God made you righteous, you're created to do good works. So you got to act. You got to act. What would this look like if Jesus was doing it? What action would Jesus take? That's the action I take. But Pastor, you don't understand. You better grow up. Take your passy out, grow up. Take action, but grow up, be responsible. The second thing is C, confession. What you say to yourself and through yourself is so important. You got to say what God says. You got to say what God says. You got to speak the word. You got to seek the word. Then you got to obey the word. And then you got to keep speaking the word. Lord, this is what I believe. I'm seeing all kinds of other stuff. I'm feeling all kinds of other stuff. But I'm going to say what you say. I'm going to say what you say. Everyone else is saying, see, that's the danger with a progressive movement. Trying to say something new. Well, it might be new. It might be fresh, but it could be dangerous because it's not tested, tried, and proved. What we need is a new look at the tested word of God. So we need a progressive look at the proven word because some of us have learned traditions that have made the word of God of no effect. So let's take a progressive look at a proven word to trust the word. To trust God. And the last after confession is T, trust his timing. Worship team, you all go ahead and come on up. Trust his timing. I know I've been a little bit long this morning, but I haven't even shared half of what I wanted to share with you. I just want to tell you that if you want your life to change, it can change. If you need your life to change, it can change. And I believe God wants your life to change. And he'll be the source of that change. And if you want to change your life, change your seed. Seek the seed of the kingdom by seeking the word of the king. Sow that word every day into your heart, into your life. Sow it into your life every day. Sow it deep. Sow it in good ground. Don't sow it half-hearted. Be committed. Sow that word into the ground. Then sleep and dream on it as God's making something good for you while you sleep and rest in the finished work of Christ. Don't go back and, here's what sleep means. You don't go back and dig up the seed to see if it's working. Or to see if it's still there. You don't go back and do that. Lord, I'm dreaming about the seed, that you're at work. And then when it comes time to take responsibility, there is a time to go ask. But it's got to be Spirit-led. There is a time to confess, because you see God at work. You see the seed coming forth, and there's a time to go ask. There's a time to go speak. There's a time to take that, to act on it. You got to trust the timing of the Lord in it. So what I want to do for the rest of worship is I really want you to just consider your life. I want you to consider your life. Consider what, I want you to take time, even though I've been a little bit long this morning, I want you to just like take time. I don't care if you stand. I don't care if you sit. This is not the time to go to sleep, but I want you to just check your life. Lord, what, you know, kind of like Rick said, what seed do I need to sow? What weed do I need to pull? And Lord, what need are you trying to meet? Sow your seed, pull your weeds, and God will meet your needs according to the word of God. So I want to encourage you, even if it's your first time here, you can turn around and use your chair as an altar. I don't care if you lay on the floor. You're not at a concert. You're in the house of God. If you need to come to the altar, I want you to come and I want you to just seek the Lord. And here's what I want to have happen. I hope this is not confusing, but this is what I want to have happen today. When y'all begin the second song, I want the altar, we have a prayer team, an altar team. During the second song, when the second song starts, I want y'all to come stand up here. And if you need prayer for any reason, if you've never given your life to Christ, there'll be a team of people standing up here at the second song. You can move around, you can pray all through, do whatever you need to do during worship. But during that second song, if you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, that means don't come up to me after service, Pastor John, would you pray for this? Because here's what I'm going to tell you today. No. No. And you're going to be like, rude. Well, you need to follow instructions. Come receive from these people and receive prayer from them during that second song. And just let God open your heart, because I believe he's changing your life. I believe he's working things out for good. I believe there's a harvest that God is planting for you and for your life that may be attacked and it may be through struggle, but I'm going to tell you what, victory is going to be yours. Victory is going to be yours. There is a harvest that the Lord is wanting to develop in your life. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we submit our heart to you. We submit our life to you. We know you're bringing change. You're working change. You're growing us. You're shaping us, God. You're correcting us with your love. So show us by your Holy Spirit. Show us by your Holy Spirit. How to seek you first in your righteousness. How to sow your word into the deepest part of our life. How to sleep and dream about your promises coming to pass. And how to reap by putting in the sickle at the proper time. Teach us to sow our seeds, pull our weeds, and we trust you to meet our needs. Have your way in our life in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship him, church.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.